Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, our primary topics are going to be surrender and making connections. Please feel free to participate or just to listen. And just to let you know, I have Kat calling in via Facebook because there was a problem with the regular phone line. Hold on. I'm calling Kat right now. The marvels of the computer age. Okay, we have Kat. Hello, Kat.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, am I on the air?
You are. You're live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, we have a caller by the name of Miranda on the line who is going to be requesting a prayer for tonight. I have announced the topics for the evening, and we are good to go. Let me just bring you back so I can see your lovely face. This is a treat. So anyhow, Kat, what would you like to say about the topics of surrender or making connections? Start wherever you'd like.
This topic was brought up by somebody who called in last week, wanting to make connections because she was feeling quite lonely. And certainly something that I've experienced in my life, and I know a lot of other people have. And I think in this day and age, people get online doing Facebook and other social media to try and kill loneliness. But because you don't have physical, in the same room connection with people, you can get offline and feel just as lonely as you were before you got on there. So the thing is that we've got to actually get out the door. And I hear people tell me a lot that they want to achieve something, and then they ask me for the steps as to how to achieve that. So everything in life is a process. So I would be describing the steps that they would need, or I'd research and then tell them, and then at the end of that I'd hear, oh, that would require a lot of effort. And it does. You know, killing loneliness requires effort. But the reward is that you're not lonely anymore and you're starting to feel happier. So it's worth the effort. What do you think, David?
Well, I agree with what you've said. I do think that we live in an age where we become disconnected in spite of some of the connections we're trying to make. And from what I understood of the caller last week, she actually wanted us to talk about making friends. But you're right. The read I got on her was that she was feeling lonely, and I had suggested the topic of making connections to make it a little bit broader. I do think it takes effort. I think that we need to get out of ourselves and put ourselves out there the best that we can. We don't always make connections. We rarely make connections if we just stay at home. There's social clubs out there. Churches are a great place to meet people if you're into that. For me, I've made a lot of connections via recovery meetings. Generally, everybody has something that they could deal with along those lines. But if not, I think that it involves being creative. You know, everything in this life requires some degree of effort, and we can sit home and feel sorry for ourselves, and that's not a nice way to feel. And indeed, we can feel lonely, and that's a valid human emotion. But the question is, what are we going to do about it? So those are some of my thoughts about making connections to overcome loneliness. And there are a lot of other ways that we can make connections too. And one of them is on a spiritual level. And I would like to bring in our caller because she's asking for a prayer. And she's been a regular caller on my Friday show in the past. So I'm delighted to have her with us tonight. If it's okay with you, Kat, I'd like to go to the phone lines and have her put her request out there. Hi, Miranda.
Thank you, David. Hi, thank you so
much.
You're
welcome.
Yes, and hello, Kat.
Hi, Miranda.
Hi. Yeah, so I briefly explained to David that I had listed my home for sale on the market, and it's been a couple of months, hasn't sold, and we also dropped the price a little bit. And, you know, I would love to request you and David to say a prayer, and whoever is listening on the line and whoever listens on the, in the future, to just say a prayer for a sale. And, you know, I believe in divine timing. I had it listed earlier in the year too. Nothing happened. And now again, I've listed it up. And yet whenever I pray and listen, I get the green light to list. And so I'm really a little bit baffled why it hasn't sold yet. And so I'm just asking for prayer and blessings for, you know, a quick sale so I can move on and go on to my next chapter.
Well, you have my prayer. I know what it's like to list real estate, and it can be a time that provokes some anxiety. And
yeah.
I just urge you to keep the faith the best you can and realize that this too shall pass and visualize it, because it will sell. It's just a matter of the timing. And if you feel like the timing is right, chances are it is. But things don't always happen overnight when it comes to selling real estate.
I know. And I just feel like I've had so much faith and positive energy out there and visualizing, but it hasn't got me anywhere. And, you know, I'm losing hope. And that's why I said, let me call David and his circle. Maybe, you know, some prayer, a group prayer is always powerful. So I was counting on that. So it seems like I'm the only caller today, huh?
Actually, we had another caller, and they disappeared. I don't know why that
they
is.
Oh, that's a shame. Okay. Well.
Yeah, I think might have been the person that had brought up the topic of making friends. Perhaps she'll call back in. At any rate, you know, we do get a number of listeners that listen to the podcast. So your prayer request is out there, and it's known. It will be known. And there could indeed be some listeners that have not chosen to enter the queue. So just know that that your request is out there and it will be heard.
Wonderful.
Is there anything that you would like to share about making connections, Miranda?
No, I think you did a pretty good job, David. You're absolutely right. You know, nothing happens just sitting at home. We have to put in some effort for whatever we want in life, whether it's making friends or finding the right job or the right partner in life. We have to get out there and do what we can. And like you had made some suggestions, you know, there are clubs and activities nearby. You could always look up online, you know, there's meeting places for people with like-minded interests. And, you know, those are a great place to start and get to know people. And so I really don't have anything to contribute other than, you know, try your best and make an effort.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you'll stay with us for the rest of the show. We're also going to be talking about surrender. But I'm wondering, Kat, is there anything else you'd like to say about making connections beyond just making connections to ease loneliness?
So there is no way that you're going to ease loneliness if you don't make a deep inner connection to yourself. Because you can go out there and be around people and have people around you, but then when the doors are closed and you're at home and you're alone, you've got to be with yourself. You need to be comfortable with yourself. You need to be comfortable with your own company. Mm-hmm. And that carries of not being lonely throughout the evening and the night and the morning until you see people again. The last thing you want to be doing is connecting with negative-minded people. You'll be in a crowd and you'll feel lonely. So the two things there is deep connection with yourself, and that is possible through creativity. Finding something that you love to do that you'd lose hours on. For me, it's painting. It can be gardening. It can be tinkering in the shed. Whatever it is for you, this being alone and being creative is a way of having a deep connection within yourself. And it does not feed loneliness. It feeds happiness. And it loses loneliness. Loneliness isn't possible when you have a deep connection within yourself, because you really like who you are and you like your achievements and you like what you're doing. And you can start on Friday night at the end of your week, working week, and only stop for meals and toilet breaks and lose a whole weekend doing something that you absolutely love, and sit down on Sunday afternoon and realize, I'm not lonely and I wasn't lonely once all weekend. And that's because you're doing something creative. So that would be the first thing. The second thing would be careful where you go and who you go to. I would rather be alone, and I have done this a few times in my life. I would rather be alone than be around negative people. And there's been the temptation to ring somebody who was negative up and say, let's go for a coffee, knowing full well that they jump at the chance. But then by the end of it, I'd feel so drained and so crappy that I just know that it just wouldn't work for me to be around that person. So avoid people who just make you feel like crap. Just avoid them. Send them love. You know, you can still love them from afar, but if their presence is something that just makes you feel drained, don't go there. And seek people who are all doing an activity that is pushing them forward in their life in a positive way. So, you know, people, you know, join a dance troupe, join a choir, join a bridge club, join a social gardening group, join a group that goes out and plants trees to save the earth, join a group that walks dogs for the elderly, join a group that does something positive and is moving forward in a positive way. They're all focused on that positive activity. And so the conversation is focused around the positive activity, and anybody who's being negative is kind of brushed aside, not in a nasty way. It's just kind of like, keep going. And everybody keeps moving forward. And because they're moving forward, they're also creating endorphins, and they can't help themselves but be positive. That is the type of people that you need to be around. Those sorts of people, once they get to know you and they realize you're having a crisis or something, they'll drop everything and come and help. But people will sit there and gossip and whinge. When you have the crisis, they won't come and help. You'll find out who your true friends are, and it won't be the people that you've blown lots of time with having coffees while they whinge and bitch and gossip. Because you can guarantee they're whinging, bitching and gossiping about you behind your back to other people. So they're the two main things when you're going through loneliness to ease the loneliness. Find something you love to do that's creative. Do it. Lose the hours in it. Absolutely revel in it. Just get into it. It doesn't matter how good it is in the end. You know, you're not necessarily having to have an art show or get first prize at the fair. You're just having fun. And then the second thing is find people who are focused on moving forward in a positive way and be around positive people, because positive people reinforce positive action and positive mindsets, and that will ease your loneliness. From there, you will start to make friends. I found this when I started my sport. I turn up, I'm a naturally introverted person. I don't feel particularly lonely within myself, because years ago I did this activity where I got into the creativity and I sought positive people. So I come along feeling self-confident, but I'm still just, my disposition is introverted. Just by being there, smiling because of the endorphins and trying my best, people started to approach me and talk to me. And now I have a few people who are friendly towards me. Maybe in a couple of months I'll be invited to a barbecue. It all unfolds naturally. Nobody's forcing anything. It's a everyone's in it together activity, and we're all trying to get coordinated. We're all trying to do our best. We're all trying to work together for a common goal of reaching something that will make us feel good. So, when you join that group, it's not going to be instant friends, but it is going to be good for you, and it slowly grows. I mean, if you're a more gregarious personality type, you might make friends quicker than me. But somebody like me who's introverted, you know, it takes me time to open up. I find it, I get quite shut down and I'm friendly and I smile, but I find it very difficult to immediately open up to people when I first meet them. I need time. And, so by doing these few things, slowly but surely. And the other thing is, you know, when you go out and about, notice joyful things, the birds singing, the way that if you're in winter, you're coming into winter now in North America, if there's already snow falling, the way the snow fell, was it beautiful? Did it sort of flutter down to the ground? What were the little animals doing? Something funny. Notice, look for things that are funny, so that when you do talk to people, you have positive conversation as well. All of these things, you know, you can seek good news on the internet. You don't have to focus on what they pump out in the media, because often that is the bad news. You know, they put it out there so you know what's going on in the world. Be aware of that, but also look for the good news so you have something positive to talk about. They might have cut taxes somewhere, or an old folks' home got upgraded, or there's a new communal swimming pool put in. You know, something positive to talk about. These things help. They really, really help. What do you think, David?
Well, earlier I was thinking about the idea of spiritual connection, and you've hit on a lot of different things that make me feel connected, Kat. I really like the idea of being creative. I find that for me to be connected, it has to do with people, places, and things. And as Kat was saying, it's so important for me to make positive choices for myself around those things or people or places. For me, places quite often have to do with nature. They have to do with being in places where people socialize. I, too, am an introvert. I've overcome a lot of those introverted tendencies, but put me in a crowd of people and I can become a wallflower very quickly. I do deal better with one-on-one encounters. And I recently joined a support group where I'm starting to develop some connections with other people. I feel like I've got a very close-knit circle of friends, but I would like to make some more friends too. A lot of my friends are elderly, and realistically speaking, they're not going to be here for much more of my life. And so I want to make and cultivate some younger friendships. So I'm putting myself out there, and but I think one of the greatest joys, and this is to overcome that feeling of loneliness. It almost sounds like we've segued into the topic of becoming happy. And I love the examples that you used, Kat. For me, as I said, nature is a great catalyst for bringing my level of vibration up. I love music. I love gardening. I love the arts. I, too, have been a painter in my past, and I would like to get back into that again. So you've planted a seed for me, Kat. But I think that when I can find my strength through solitude, through some of these creative experiences that you've mentioned, Kat, then I'm in a place where I'm going to feel like I'm coming out of a sense of being lonely to a place of connecting with myself, my higher power, however people want to conceive of it. It's something greater than myself and something greater than feelings that are uncomfortable for me. So those are some of my thoughts. I don't know if, Miranda, if you would like to say anything else, let me come to you for a minute and bring your mic live. Hi, Miranda. Is there anything you'd like to
hello.
Say?
Hello. You both have covered it so wonderfully. I don't have much to add other than I resonate with you both. I too, am an introvert and by nature, but that doesn't mean I'm necessarily shy. I don't have a problem making friends. It's just, I guess my issue has been finding the people that I do come across don't really share the same interests, so it's been a little bit of a challenge there. But I'm also very content just being on my own. And like Kat was saying, it's so important to be at home with yourself. And you know, it all starts from there because, you know, looking for friends is great. But if you're really, really seeking it because there's a void in your life or you don't like being by yourself and it's scary or something, then you have to explore that because, you know, you have to feel comfortable being in your own skin and being alone because it's important. It starts from there. And once that's overcome, then of course, you know, by all means, go ahead and seek out company. But it shouldn't be something because you're just scared to be alone, you know, or I don't know. And she was very, very good about, you know, being mindful of those who you seek out. You know, they shouldn't be negative, toxic people. And it's very important to seek out high energy, high vibrating individuals so that you actually feel stimulated by their company and not drained afterwards. I think you guys have covered it very well.
Well, thank you for your input, Miranda. I think that you've covered it very well, too.
Thank you. I think we're all doing a good job.
Yeah. I mean, we've all got some great ideas, and I think the beauty of a show like this or any kind of discussion group where you're talking about different topics is that you can inspire one another with, or as I say to Kat, stimulate one another with thoughts that you might not have remembered that can lead you in new directions or can help you rediscover things that have been helpful to you in the past that you may have forgotten about.
Absolutely.
When Kat was talking about connections to people and being taking care around the people that you surround yourself with, I was thinking of a caller on the show a couple of months ago who brought up Max Ehrman's The Desiderata, where he talked about going slowly amidst the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. And then there's the part mm-hmm. where it talks about avoiding loud and aggressive persons for their vexations to the spirit. I love that. And with that said, let's move on to the topic of surrender. And Miranda, I'm going to return to you. If you can stay with us, we'd appreciate your input. Let me go to Kat first.
I'm
going to
try, David.
And,
yes.
Okay, thank you, honey. Kat, what would you like to say about surrender?
I think surrender for a lot of people comes at the end of trying and pushing to make something happen. And if we're looking at it in the collaboration of making connection, you really need to say to yourself, I now allow the process, because when you're surrendering, you're actually allowing the process of the universe, of nature, and of everything that you've set up in the past to fall into place. So if you say, for example, a lot of people come to me because they want a romantic partner, and they pushed and pushed and pushed and they've come up with nothing, then I would say to them, it's now time. To happen. So when we ask the universe for something, we say exactly what we want. We may sit with a cup of tea and just stare at the world and say, I would like to have a romantic partner. Or you would, what I often tell people is to write a pros and cons list of all the negative. On the negative is everything you don't want about somebody, including family and friends. You know, a nice person, but they've got a horror family and friends. So you need to be sure that you have the circle around them you can work with, and their habits and their finances and all of that. You work all of that out. You get all the negative out, and then you put all the positive down about what you want. And then you sit back and you say, I've got a specific, that's what I want. If you try too hard and you keep pushing and you keep seeking, and I met somebody who traversed Australia looking for this elusive partner that they never ever met because they didn't surrender. They didn't sit back and say, okay, universe, there's a billion people, you know, in the southern hemisphere. I'm going to sit back and just let you bring me whoever is meant to be. So you, at some point, you have to say, I've put it out there and now I'm going to sit back and let it happen. And the best thing that you can do if you're going to be seeking friendships or romantic relationships or a great new boss if you're looking for a job or whatever it is work on yourself. Think about the things that haven't worked for you that you've done in the past and make a choice to change them for the better. You know, there's plenty of self-help books out there, or you can just consciously do it. I want to work on myself to be a happier person, or I want to work on myself to be a nicer person, or I want to work on myself to be a more interesting person, whatever it is for you. But while you're doing that, you're becoming happier and happier and happier. The universe is going to find it easier to bring you exactly what you want, because you're in a happier state, your vibe's nice. So that's where the give and take is. So the surrender is, you know, stop doing it all yourself. You know, I had to learn this the hard way. I used to try and put on events all by myself, and they'd flop because it was just me. When I surrendered and said, okay, universe, I can't do it all myself. If you want me to put on events, then, you know, bring me people who are willing to help me. That began to happen. I didn't force it. People started approaching me. Things began to work out, and I started having success. So surrender is the important part in the process of manifestation of what you need and what you want. What do you think, David?
Well, I think of surrender as letting go, and that's always been rather elusive for me. Just sharing a couple of things, examples from my life. I did have a history of mental illness, and I always thought it was a sign of weakness to reach out for help. And I've actually come to learn that that's a form of strength, to admit that I'm not all powerful, that I don't need to do it alone. And now I'm moving beyond that concept of reaching out for help for mental illness, even though that affects 1 out of 5 people in their lifetimes. I think it's important to let go of the notion, as you were saying, Kat, that you're all powerful. There is a power greater than ourselves that comes from communion with others, that comes from the universe, and I need to let go of whatever is troubling me. I need to let go of the notion that I am the center of the universe and that I can have more positive results when I just relax into the knowing that all is well and that if I put out my desires, they will manifest when I let go of them. When I cling to them, nothing seems to happen. And I have found myself in a place of frustration around some of my writing activities. I've had a degree of success, and it hasn't been what I'd envisioned for myself. And so I think that what I've done has been to attract just kind of a holding pattern, and I've had to learn some lessons in patience. I have made some connections that have been very positive for myself, and I have faith in myself that I will make an impact with my writing at some point in time. But it's not my time. It's the time of the universe. And I think this translates into, a universal truth for all of us, that our time is not necessarily the time that things are going to happen. The more we can let go, the more we can surrender, the more likely things are going to fall into place with some synchronicity. I just had another thought, and it escaped me, and unfortunately Miranda's not with us, but I was thinking about her situation with her house, and I really wanted to have her input on the notion of how well she's surrendering to her desire to sell that house. I suspect that she may be holding on a little bit to the notion that she wants it to sell quickly, and that may be holding her back at some level. I don't know, but I would have enjoyed getting her input on that. Let's see. I'm going to try to gather my thoughts for a moment. I know what I was going to say. I think that it's important to stay in the moment. If I stay in the moment, I am surrendering to being present, and I become more conscious, and I can become more connected also as a result of that. I do believe that meditation is a wonderful way to surrender, and we will do a meditation at the end of the show that will hopefully bring people more into the moment and into whatever vision that they have as a result of that meditation. So those are just a few more of my thoughts. I don't know, Kat, is there anything you'd like to add?
I agree with everything that you've just said. We can push and push and push, but at some point, if it's not working for us and we know we're on the right path, we have to just step back. And that's when the answers have space to come forward and not before. You might get some rewards, but you won't get the full quota if you don't give it a little bit of energy and space. So you've got to relax. It's hard, especially when you really, really want something and you've got to wait a long time for that to manifest. That can be really hard. And it can become frustrating. But it's that you don't lose the faith is the answer. So you remain self-confident that it will happen. You keep working on yourself, on being happier and happier. You keep putting in whatever feels right. So at the beginning of every day, you say, what should I do today towards my goal? And you do whatever that is that day, and then you leave yourself homework for tomorrow, and you just keep plugging away. But you don't put an emotional panic or worry into it. And I think that's where the surrender is, because you don't have emotional panic or worry. When we start to have those feelings of, oh, it's never going to happen, and flailing, gnashing of teeth, all of that sort of stuff, that's when you're holding on too much and you're holding on to the it'll never happen feeling. And so you're putting the brakes on the universe. You've actually got to, even as counterintuitive as it might be, you've got to stop that. You've got to stop it. You've got to stop the it'll never happen, panic, worry feeling, and start doing whatever you have to do every day, one step at a time, to make it happen. And the universe will meet you halfway with energy. It's like a government grant. There's a lot of government grants here in Queensland where you put up half the money and they'll put up the other half. So you do that. You put up half the energy and the universe will give you the other half. And you keep saying to your higher self, what do I have to do today towards my goal? You'll have some homework from yesterday and something will unfold for you today. And you do that, and then the next thing will happen. And you never, ever subscribe to panic button, unless, of course, there is some sort of attack or issue that, you know, you have to then take action. But even then, you get into a way with the universe that you just go, all right, now this is the process. Even if that's swift action, there's a process, one step at a time. It's so much more peaceful way to live. It's just an easier way to live. And I'm not perfect at it. I'm definitely not perfect at it. Currently banging my head against the wall doing my tax, because every time I load something into the Australian Tax Office website, they give me a different number than what my books do. So I'm doing it incorrectly. It's taking me longer than it should. And that's part of, I've just got to sit back and go, right, what am I doing wrong? Because they've calculated their website correctly. They've calibrated their website correctly. I'm doing something incorrectly. I'm not reading what they're asking for correctly. I've got to research more. I've got to do more. So my day unfolds again and again and again until I get it right. And that's because I'm Scottish and too stingy to hire an accountant. And that's all right. You know, that's me. I'll get it right. It's all part of the process. Most likely by the end of tomorrow, it'll be done. And then I'll move on to the next thing that I have on my plate. And then the next thing, and then the next thing. And the things that I really, really want will begin to manifest because I'll have made the space for it as well. And that's the other thing. If you have a massive goal, say, for example, you wanted to be an Olympic athlete, but you haven't cleaned up your own backyard first, you haven't done all the things that you've got to do that are on your plate today, you're never going to get to where you want to be in the future. So clean it up. Whatever's going on in your life, clean that up as best you can, and then you can start working on the goals. So, you know, I do this when I'm in business coaching. I'll have somebody sit in front of me and they want to have XYZ happen in their business, but I'll be asking them about what's going on in your house, how's your environment, what are you doing about it, how are you generating capital? And very often their environment's a mess and they've got to clean that up. And if they clean that up, there's more space in their head because your direct environment reflects your mind. So, you know, it's all part of a process. Once they've cleaned up their environment, then they start to have more space in their head for other things, and then they start making the achievements. Surrender is about letting go, but it's also about coming halfway with the universe and letting the universe bring the other half to you. You know, the Christian saying, all in God's time, is valid, but there's also God helps those who help themselves. So you need to have put some energy in, and then you need to sit back and let things unfold.
I couldn't agree more. And I think there's a lot to be said about cleaning up your own side of the street. And there are a couple of different ways of looking at that. There is the environment, physical environment, and then there is the emotional and mental environment. I find that if I'm going to have any peace in my life, I need to let go of those things that bother me. And sometimes it's just a matter of talking things out. Sometimes it's a matter of changing the scenery and taking a walk or something like that. My serenity is very important for me, and being in a place of peace is very important for me in order to move forward and not stay stuck. And I also find that it's very important for me to find my joy and to reclaim it when I lose it. I'm a human being, and I'm subject to all kinds of feelings, and some of them just don't feel good. But I can't stuff them or act them out and expect life to get any better. I need to surf through those feelings. I need to experience them and let them go and surrender to the fact that there's more in this life than just David. And that David is just fine as he is. I am human, as we all are. And I'm subject to error, thoughts, actions. And I'm not exactly sure where I'm going with this, but I'm trying to stick with the thread here. I just believe that I need to keep putting one step, one foot in front of the other and move forward the best I can. And if I lose a step here or there or backslide, I just need to pick myself up by the bootstraps and move on. I do not need to give up, to surrender. I can surrender to win. And by that I mean, let me give an example. I might be driving down the road and somebody's tailgating me. This happens to me quite frequently. There are a lot of inconsiderate drivers on the road. You can call them by other names too. But for me to get upset about that only feeds fuel to the fire. And what I've learned to do is if I can, I just pull to the side of the road and let them pass me by. And then they don't rob my serenity. They're not continuing to be a danger behind me, and I've let them go, and I've let it go. And so there are a lot of small steps that we can take in order to surrender, and that's about all I have to say.
No, I think that I feel pretty complete about all of that, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll have to come up with some topics for next week. We don't have any callers on the line at present, and that's all right. I do know that people do listen to the show, and so that's a good thing. Kat, would you lead us out with a meditation tonight?
Yes. So take three long, deep breaths, and as you breathe in the word peace. And as you breathe out the word harmony. And just so breathe in peace and breathe out harmony. In peace, out harmony. In peace and out harmony. You can have your eyes open or closed. If you have them open, just focus on one spot in front of you. I'd like you to think about something that you really desire. It could be anything. Just put it front and center in your mind. See it as a physical object or a feeling of achievement. And absolutely manifest the image of it on all four corners. Can make it a 3D image if you're able to. And you got that image of what you really desire in your mind. Hold it there and think about the warmth of the sun on the top of your head. And just have that sense of warmth of the sun on the top of your head. And know that the light of the sun is the divine light of the Great Spirit. And let that light penetrate your mind and feel like a little sparkler going off. It sparks all the electrons in your body. And so all these little electrical sparks are going off all in your body, all down your head, through your arms, hands, down your torso, your legs, and out your feet. And your whole body's turning to sunlight. And yet the image of what you want remains in your mind's eye. Now all of that light that's in your body, now imagine that it's spotlights, and turn those spotlights to the thing that you really want in your mind's eye, and shine all the light within you and that's coming through you, through the divinity of the Great Spirit. Shine it all intensely onto that thing that you want to manifest. And the thing that you want to manifest is now popping out pieces of paper in order. And it's like pages from the printer in order from 1 to 60. And they will say 1 of 60, 2 of 60, 3 of 60, and so on. And there they stack before you. Now all the light has turned the goal, the object that you want, into a stack of papers. And each paper has one day's worth of action that you need to take to create that goal. Then some days there'll only be one or two things on the piece of paper. Other days there'll be more. It's not time to look through the stack of papers. It's only time to look at the top one. And every day you will only look at the top piece of paper. So when you open your eyes, I want you to keep the goal, the image, the 3D picture of what it is in your mind's eye. But I'd like you to find a piece of paper and write down what the action steps are today towards that. And then do the same tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day for 60 days. And see how far you get in either manifesting it in 60 days or getting so far forward with the momentum that you know it's coming. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. And please tune in again the same time next week, which is 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time or 10 a.m. 8 p.m. Eastern time Sunday night, 10 a.m. Monday morning in Australia where Kat is. And with that said, good night.
Good night, everybody.